Well, as we've recognised all the prophets in the lighting of the Advent wreath there, we remember the first of those prophets, Isaiah. Now, a bit about Isaiah. He was born 800 years before Christ appeared on earth. 800 years. He was married to a prophetess, and they had two children, two boys. His father was related to a king of Israel. So Isaiah was an aristocrat. He wasn't like John the Baptist, another prophet. He came from a wealthy family and therefore had access to the higher echelons of the Israeli community. God told him during his 60 years of prophesying to go naked and walk barefoot for 3 years. He actually wore a loincloth, but 3 years. And he died at the wonderful age of 120. Those who know the Bible, Hebrews 11, where they talk about the men of faith, Isaiah was referred to some of those who were sawn asunder. He was sawn in half. That's how he died, with a wooden saw. So quite a guy was Isaiah. But of course, it's not about him. It's about the message that God gave him to give to the people. But the thing was that the people at that time just didn't listen to Isaiah. But he was a man who wasn't scared of telling the truth about the spiritual lostness that had gripped God's people. In essence, their hearts were just not in the right place. Now, Isaiah didn't prophesy, he predicted, and there is a difference. I think most people can predict, but the prophets in the Bible spoke on behalf of God. The words they spoke that came out of their mouth for Isaiah for 60 years were the words that he'd received from God, whether it be in visions or some other way. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying to Isaiah, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And God said, "Go and tell the people." And Isaiah did that for 60 years. He proclaimed the message God gave him, primarily between the southern kingdom of Judah and its capital, Jerusalem, but it also applied to the northern kingdom of Israel. At that time, Israel was split in two. So what were these messages? Before we look at them, Phil recommended last week, because Phil preached on Isaiah, that we should take time to read the book of Isaiah. And I fully endorse that. It's from the Old Testament, and a lot of people dismiss the Old Testament as not being relevant. Well, it is relevant. It's God's promise to us. And that promise is fulfilled in the New Testament through the arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is important. But going back to Isaiah, if you pick your Bible up, you more or less can open it like that. And it, roughly, it's about in the middle. And if you speed read it, don't spend hours looking at it. Just read the first 34 verses of Isaiah, and you'll get something of the flavour of how God was so upset with his people, really upset with them. So be warned, the first message that God gave to Isaiah was just that, a warning to his people. "Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children, brought them up, but they have rebelled against me." God's people had rebelled against him. They were like many today, fixated on many things, like mobile phones. They were going their own way, not God's way. And rebellion took many forms, not least idolatry. Does this ring a bell? "Their land is full of idols. They bow down to the works of their hands, to what their fingers have made." And the second message that God gave Isaiah over the course of these 34 verses is one of judgment. I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove all your impurities. Their rebellion would come at a cost. Their country, the land of Israel, would be invaded, would be decimated, and the people would be taken off into exile to Babylon. And God used the neighboring forces, the nations that surrounded Israel at that time, of Assyria and Babylon, to carry out his judgment on his people. Over time, they invaded Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. They destroyed the city. Read about it in the Bible. And when I say destroyed it, they destroyed it. There wasn't a stone left standing. And they carried its people off to Babylon. So you can see that God meant business. He was fed up with his people, and again they were disobedient towards him. Their hearts were not right, and as a consequence, they were not right with God. And it was because of this that Isaiah kept preaching God's message for 60 years. Mend your ways, or there will be judgment upon you. The error of their ways and the judgment that would eventually befall them. I'd like to just pause there before coming on to the third message and ask ourselves, who are the prophets in today's society? Indeed, do we need prophets? God's word is eternal, we know that. That passage, what Isaiah, the message he was given, was written over 3,000 years ago. And it's as relevant now as it was then. We're all intelligent folks. We should know. You see what's going on around you. Here's a person that I'd like to suggest is one of today's prophets or prophetess. The teenager Greta Thunberg, a climate change activist, who was brought to the attention of the world leaders the danger this planet is facing. And like Isaiah, her warnings and the outcome that follows has not always been taken seriously. Until now, it is being taken seriously. You've only to look at the world today to compare between what Isaiah was proclaiming and what is happening around us today. Go home, you watch the news, you read the papers, you see it on your computers. Climate change is real. So are wars. So are corporate greed. So is child poverty. So is homelessness. And I haven't even mentioned the B word, Brexit. These are just a few of the issues facing us today. But overarching all those issues, as important as they are, is one dynamic, and that is a people turning away from God. Here we are. How many? There might be 50, 60 people. There's nearly 6,000 people out there that are not in here. A people, I'm not saying all of them out there, but certainly a people turning away from God. And it needs to be remembered that. I read this recently, and it's on screen. A Christian is both an optimist and a pessimist. Pessimist about the present, I've just mentioned it all, I'm a pessimist. But I'm also an optimist about the future. And those two things make me a realist. Yes, it's that, but it's also this that is coming. And the same applies to the prophets. They're not just prophets of doom, they are realists. Hence Isaiah's third and most important message, and that is one of hope. Isaiah uses the analogy of a tree stump to describe the beginning of that hope. We know that the land the Israelites occupied had been invaded and Jerusalem destroyed. The people were exiled by their enemies to Babylon. The tree stump, it was like a forest, Israel, that had been decimated. All the trees had been cut down. Just as an aside, they were oak trees, and oak trees can grow from a stump. The tree stump was Israel and its remnant, the people. But Isaiah prophesied, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and its roots, a branch, will bear fruit. That is the hope. Root, stump, shoot, branch, fruit. All words associated with growth. You can almost sense the feeling, the building up of something or someone coming. Something is happening. But what about Jesse? Those familiar with churches, and particularly the stained glass, will know about the Jesse window. Indeed, we've got one there. If you come up this side, if you come up here later on, you can see it. There it is on the screen. And there we have dear old Jesse in the right-hand corner, fast asleep. He was a shepherd. He was the father of David, him of Goliath fame. And there's David, who became the most famous king of Israel, on his left. And then you see the branch of the Jesse tree winding its way up. And then you see the kings of Israel sat enthroned. And then it carries on this side, further up, and there, highly exalted and high, is King Jesus on the left. That is the genealogy of the Christ Jesus, read in Matthew 1. Read Matthew 1 right at the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1, and it goes through all those up to King Jesus. And it is he who the whole book of Isaiah is dedicated to. He is the hope who, that rests with him. It is he who Isaiah prophesies these words over. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be called child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with you. The advent of the Lord is near. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Isaiah tells us he will have the Spirit of the Lord rest on him, which will provide him with wisdom and understanding, truth, righteousness and faithfulness, all gifts that will enable him to reign over all nations, all nations. He will raise a banner for all nations and gather the exiles of Israel, both Jews and Gentiles, for he is Lord of all, and his kingdom shall be everlasting, and with it hope. And God himself is the source of that hope. We live in turbulent times. Next Thursday, the nation goes to the polls. One newspaper ran the headline, "It will be the most important election in modern history. It's time to take sides." I'm not advocating for you to vote for any particular party. That's up to you, who you vote for. And I'd just like to echo what Ian was saying. As Christians, our first allegiance should be to Christ. That's who comes first, not the political parties. That's whose side we should be on, Christ's side. What Isaiah was prophesying to the Israelites applies to us today. Getting right with God, it may mean saying sorry, repenting, but that is where our hope lies. But we have a blessed assurance that whatever the outcome of this election, our God will never be voted out. Our God will never be voted out. And as his campaigners, if we're here today, we believe in him. We vote for him. And we rally round his banner and remember the words of Isaiah. Arise, shine, see your Saviour come. Amen. Don't look so despondent. Hope is on the way. Thank you, Lord.